The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
TR was also a staunch and ferocious opponent of a thing called communism. You've been hearing a lot about that lately. He said the doctrines of communistic socialism, if consistently followed, mean the ultimate annihilation of civilization. Other than that, he thought it was wonderful. As we're seeing now, communism is the greatest threat to our country, including, I believe this. You know, when I said it, I said, boy, that's pretty severe, but I think it's true. It's the biggest threat to our country, including World War I, World War II, Pearl Harbor, September 11th. I think it's a bigger threat, potentially a bigger threat than that, because it's like a cancer that spreads, and you better stop it fast.
NATO-Gipfel. Wir wollen die NATO insgesamt europäischer machen.
We want to make NATO more European overall. We, as Europeans, are taking on more responsibility within NATO. We are reducing one-sided transatlantic dependencies. And that is, under all circumstances, the right decision for both sides of the Atlantic. This includes significantly increasing our defense spending. Germany will reach the 3.5% target agreed upon in The Hague last year, by 2029, many years earlier than we had agreed to do in NATO as a whole. Our neighbors should feel safer when Germany is strong. When Germany firmly integrates its armed forces and its alliance commitments into the alliance and into NATO, then this will succeed.
No, we in the United States, my friends, seem to be so stupid, we never can tell where our real enemy is until after he strikes. We can only see one enemy at a time, and I want to tell you that the United States has more than one enemy. Now, we fought a war against Germany, World War II, and Japan. Of course, we said at the beginning of World War II that we would certainly do away with German militarism and it would never rise up its ugly head again. We were going to demolish it once and for all, and after we got it demolished, now we start to rise it up ourselves, because we think we have to have it as a buffer and a protection against Russia. And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe.
The U.S. can only see one enemy at a time. That's Herbert Armstrong, of course. And before that, you heard President Trump yesterday in North Dakota talking about the evils of communism. And he's certainly right. Like my father says in Great Again, he does a good job of identifying the evil. And this squares with something Mr. Armstrong said decades ago, more than a half century ago, about the communist infiltration of the United States of America. So that happened. And Herbert Armstrong was ahead of his time, warning of the spread. It's interesting that all of these stories we've been discussing this week, it's happening right at the time of our nation's birthday, 250 years. And yet, as we'll get to today, you've got all these stories about just how radical the Communist Party is, the Democrat Party, here in the United States. And so there are those that recognize it, and yet at the same time, we're encouraging Germany to rebuild. To rebuild a military machine. We can't see any other enemies. We just see the radical left. We know that that's evil. And you know, the other thing we can't see is our sins. In a lot of ways, to point at communism or the spread of socialism as the great evil of our day, it hides the fact that as a country, or as countries, to bring in Ephraim as well, like we did on the show yesterday, we're not looking at our sins. We're not confronting our sins. We're not confronting the sin, the evil in our hearts. Okay, so we're finally confronting the communists, even as we encourage the Holy Roman Empire to rise up. And that's the empire, of course, as Herbert Armstrong said over the course of his ministry, that's going to come against the United States and Britain. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Of course, we had some travel earlier this week, so I guess that factors into why it's hard to believe it's already Thursday, and we're coming into the July 4th weekend. I just want to draw your attention to How America Became Great. That's the July issue of the Trumpet magazine. And Joel Hilliker in the Morning Brief draws attention to this issue. And he also said how that there's polls out there showing that the national pride in America, it's never been lower. It's never been lower. That's why, you know, when I saw the start of the U.S. soccer match last night, to see athletes, professional athletes, players, singing along with the national anthem, and some of them had their hands on their chest. You get excited anymore just seeing something like that because it's so unusual. Because most athletes don't do that. There was a time, not that long ago, St. Floyd, remember that? And everyone was taking a knee because we were embarrassed about our history. We were embarrassed about national pride. We were embarrassed by patriotism. That was just 6 years ago. The summer of love. Everybody showing hatred and contempt for their country. And here come these polls. Only a third of Americans are extremely proud to be an American. Meanwhile, the Democrat Party just goes further and further left toward communism. And as you heard from President Trump, it's a threat. It's not the only threat, but he certainly sees that threat. If only these communists were held to account, prosecuted for their crimes, for their evil. There's a yawning gulf between political parties. Whereas 70% of Republicans call themselves extremely proud, among Democrats, it's a miserable 14%. 14% that are extremely proud to be American. It says something deeper than one man in the Oval Office is eroding national pride. One explanation, Mr. Hilliker says, lies in the rising popularity of democratic socialism in America, as recent election victories and polling data show. This reflects a total rejection of America's founding principles. How can you have pride in a country built on ideas you oppose? How can you have pride? I mean, this goes deeper than just a political party. You look at our educational institutions. You look at the erosion of morality. You look at popular culture. As I say, you look at the athletes. You look at the examples. So much hatred and contempt from within and without. As Mr. Armstrong said, you better see more than just one enemy, because America has more than one enemy. Axios says, Kamala Harris reaches out to Mamdani, pro-Palestinian activists in the run-up to 2028. It's not that we want to comment much on what's going to happen in the presidential election in 2028, but the fact that she's looking to Mamdani and pro-Palestinian activists, that tells you everything you need to know. If you're going to win Democratic elections, you've got to be a communist. It used to be that the Democrats, it wasn't even that long ago, that they would lie and say, no, we're not, certainly I'm not a socialist. And then they'd carry on with their socialist policies. But now it's just out in the open. And you see it, like I said yesterday, in the primaries in Georgia, in Colorado, in D.C., in New York. the Democrat Socialist Party. Colorado win shows third world communism is the new norm in the Democrat Party. That's at the Federalist. Third world communism. That's what we're celebrating. So many of us, so many Americans, like Mr. Livingston brought out earlier this week, you've got all these visitors flooding into the country for the World Cup, and they can't believe how blessed we are. They can't believe that every building is air conditioned. There's a heat wave right now in Europe. I think 1,500 people have died in Paris. And they're mostly elderly or handicapped, but still, it's just too hot. And so they're dying. America has had it so good. We've been blessed with so much prosperity. Visitors driving through Kansas City. World Cup visitors. They can't believe what just a Midwest town, how people live. In a place like Kansas City. That's Kansas City. That doesn't even have as much wealth as some of the coastal cities. And yet here are Americans living in big, spacious, air-conditioned homes. And these visitors from overseas, they can't believe it. They can't even believe it. And of course, there's a lot of jealous contempt that these people have for America because of it. But how spoiled are we? Here we've been given all of these blessings, and you've got people winning campaigns on the platform of, let's bring in third world communism. That's the ticket. That's what really sells. Happy birthday. 250 years. The string of socialist victories across the country shows that the ideas many thought were once confined to the fringe of the Democrat Party are no longer fringe. They're right in the mainstream. And the Democrat Party, give or take a few percentage points, I guess, it's 50% of America. And Democrats are excited about these third world communist candidates. They love it. They want more of it. These latest primary victories for openly socialist candidates prove that Democrat voters don't really see a need to keep hiding the ball. Candidates who openly campaign on being a socialist are the choice of Democrats. Victor Davis Hanson has a great piece on who these people really are. What's their background? What's their ideology? What's their education? He says here, who are the so-called Democrat Socialists of America? While it is difficult to generalize, many current and would-be socialist office holders share several common traits. What are these traits? What do they have in common? Most of them represent a relatively small slice of American life. Almost all are urban, with little knowledge of small town or rural existence. They're big city dwellers. Their world is subways, buses, high-rises, Uber, taxis, and proximity to corporate, academic, and financial institutions. Yet often with little understanding of where their food, fuel, water, or everyday goods originate, or where their waste and sewage ultimately go. They have no idea how our society functions. They've just grown up spoiled. Spoiled children. And like I said yesterday, a lot of them are young people in their 20s and 30s. He says the disproportionate number of our most prominent radicals are either first or second generation immigrants, most originating from failed or illiberal states in what was once called the Third World. Third World communism. First or second generation immigrants. Their parents, their grandparents, they risked everything, presumably, to come to America. And then the children, the grandchildren, spoiled. Spoiled on the wealth and the prosperity, the ease, the luxury of American life. And then trying to sell constituents on a bit of third world communism. It doesn't even make sense. Now, I know there's plenty of immigrants that are very thankful to be in America and that don't want third world policies. They don't want third world communism. That's what they came out of in some cases. But how do you explain those that want this? Yesterday I talked about the times of the Gentiles. The tail is really and truly the head, and the head has become the tail. My father, this program, I think I played a couple clips yesterday from the 2014 Key of David. He's talking specifically about the catastrophe at the southern border. But to just make a larger point, again, we are in the times of the Gentiles, for sure. This is clip 6.
Did you know that immigration problem is actually prophesied in your Bible? The British nation also has a serious immigration problem, and very similar in some ways to what's happening in America. And they too are deeply divided about that issue and many other issues. But they too, their problem too is prophesied in your Bible.
It identifies who we are in prophecy. Like my father says there, Ephraim and Manasseh, Britain has a problem with illegal immigration as well. You see it in the knife crime. And then to see, like you heard yesterday, Prince Charles from 1993, just bending over backwards for Islam, praying with Muslims. Now you've got Mamdani as the New York City mayor and Kamala Harris reaching out to him and his group. Like we said, when Mamdani came on the scene, who could have imagined that in New York City, just 25 years after 9/11, after radical Islam brought down the Twin Towers? Who could have imagined that then? And yet here we are. These sins, these curses, they identify who we are in prophecy. You need this book. Herbert Armstrong's classic work, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Play clip 7.
Who is Israel? It's a lot more than the little nation in the Middle East, I'll tell you for sure. But notice what Daniel says. Yea, all Israel has transgressed your law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us. And the oath is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So it's to Israel, an end time Israel.
It always gets back to the sin question. Victor Davis Hanson says, few have even tried to explain the paradox of fleeing failed states only to become virulent critics of the charitable nation that they chose to join. Virulent critics. They hate America. Their families fled third world communism to get here. And then the spoiled children, they express their hate. It says, while they damn the nation's founding as a settler colonial white supremacist project and dismiss its first 250 years as a grim catalog of isms and ologies, they never explain why they or their parents would have chosen to come to such a cesspool in the first place. Why are immigrants flooding into America? When the border was wide open during the auto pen years, why did they flood in by the millions, tens of millions? It says, why do they not leave now for more authentically non-white paradises in Africa, Asia, Latin America, or the Middle East? See, it reveals, you can't explain it logically, but the fact that it's happening, it reveals who we are. It shows that we're being besieged by curses. Just like my father said in that 2014 program. You can play clip 8.
If you go back to that law of Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible, it tells us what's going to come upon us in this end time. That's what Daniel is saying, because it's only an end time book. It makes no sense any other time. And he says, now you're going to see all of these problems come upon you, and it's written right there in those first books of the Bible.
It's for our time, the last days. In that Victor Davis Hanson piece, he says, they are often glib, but otherwise poorly educated. Few possess any real grounding in history, literature, or the STEM fields. When they graduate from left-wing universities, they emerge strikingly arrogant and ignorant at once. What a combination, arrogance and ignorance. It says, as elite radical egalitarians, they proudly brandish their degrees and constantly reference their university training. Yet for all the time and money poured into college during what were supposed to be the best years of their lives, prolonged adolescence and bitterness appear epidemic among the new young socialists. Bitterness, childishness. This is straight out of Isaiah 3. The children oppress, it says there. Isaiah 3, verse 12, read it. They're oppressors. They're not building up society. I go around all the time talking to students and young people out in field congregations, telling them how much we need them. We need youthful vitality. We need energetic youths who have their hearts in the work. They have their hearts in God's work. Otherwise, that energy, that vitality can be so easily misguided and manipulated. But if you're grounded in the Word of God, I'm reading Eric Metaxas's book on the revolution. What led up to it, America's revolution, that is, in the 1700s. And so many of the main players, there's a few exceptions, but so many of them were young, in their 20s or 30s. George Washington went off to fight in the French-Indian War at 21 years of age and was spared miraculously, by the way. And then came back later to lead the Continental Army. I think he was in his 30s at that time, maybe early 40s. But still, these were young, youthful Americans. How much do these socialist candidates even know about that history? They just look back on it and they sneer. Well, yeah, they're all white. That's the problem. The project was flawed from the beginning. And oh, by the way, happy birthday. 250 years. What would George Washington and the founders have thought of a political party, one of two, that wants to bring in third world communism? They want to invite an invasion from the third world. As I said on yesterday's show, you can't even imagine it being talked about, let alone happening in the late 1700s. And yet here we are. Many of these third world communists, he lists them off, AOC and a bunch of others I'm not as familiar with. They are either childless, single, or both. That's Isaiah 3, verse 12. For all their sermonizing about diversity, it's relatively rare to find a democratic socialist who is a suburban, married with children, and therefore has a direct personal stake in local school curricula, charter schools, vouchers, crime, law enforcement, and basic urban safety. They're not family men and women. For the most part, they're like what he just described there. So the family, the traditional family, it's just been a total breakdown. And like Mr. Armstrong said, that is the foundation of any stable, strong society. What happens when the family breaks down? Well, society breaks down. And that's what this swing toward radicalism and extremism, third world communism, that's what it shows. It shows just how far down we've gone. As I said on yesterday's show, the higher up we go with respect to blessings and prosperity and power, the harder the fall. Listen again to my father from 2014, clip 9.
God then goes on to in Deuteronomy 28 and says, well, now look, if you don't obey me, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to come upon you. And here's where we see something said that applies to our southern border in America and even to Britain's immigration problem.
Notice he says there, if you don't obey me. So it's good that there are some, including President Trump, that identify the evil that is communism, the communist infiltration of America. But don't let that take away from where our real focus should be. How did this happen? How did it spread? Well, because of our sins. It says, in sum, this is Victor Davis Hanson, democratic socialism is a top-down movement run by insulated elites who have little understanding of or genuine interest in the lives of millions of ordinary Americans living outside the walls of their parochial cloisters. One final clip here from my father, clip 10.
Notice where it talks about the stranger rising up above you and you'll go down, get down very low, or the Gentiles. Then verse 52, notice this, and he shall besiege you in all your gates, and then until your high and fenced walls come down. Your high and fenced walls in your nations, what is that? Wherein you trusted throughout all your land. And he shall besiege you in all your gates, the Gentiles will, throughout all the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, look, your high fenced walls, well, that has to do with your borders. Of course it does. They're going to come down, God says, and cause you all kinds of problems if you don't wake up and see what's happening.
Now, the Trump administration has done a lot to secure the border, but look at the fight, as we covered yesterday. You just need to have a baby now. Visit the U.S., have a baby, and there you are. Amy Coney Barrett says you're a citizen, a legalized citizen of the United States. So much of the damage, it's been done. You can send back a few hundred thousand Haitians. There have been some victories there at the Supremes for President Trump. But what about the millions that just came in for years? For this century, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, all through. Again, Donald Trump has maybe been the one exception as far as border security goes. But what about the tens of millions who are here illegally? This other article at The Federalist, didn't have time to get to it yesterday. McCarthyism didn't go far enough to root out filthy communists. So now we have modern New York City. He was made out to be a villain, McCarthy. Here people are finally saying he didn't go far enough. It wasn't just scaremongering. It was real. And, of course, Herbert Armstrong told us this. Even in the 1950s, I'll get to that when we have a moment, the Communist Party USA had more than 37,000 members in 1950, and it received a generous subsidy directly from the Soviet Union. New members swore loyalty to the USSR and pledged that they would ensure the triumph of Soviet power in the United States. I mean, that's just despicable. It's appalling that it was even allowed. But at least you can see by the numbers, it was only 37,000. That was in 1950. That was more than 75 years ago. It says, for his foresight, McCarthy's reputation has been systematically smeared for the last 60 years, while the communists he warned about slowly but surely crept their way into and came to dominate the nation's institutions. This is almost word for word what Herbert Armstrong prophesied, what he warned about. Just order our booklet. He was right. There's an entire chapter in there on the communist infiltration of the United States. He was right. He was right 70-some years ago. The long march through the institutions ended in a total victory for the communists, and that victory has facilitated the absolute insanity we see in today's media, academia, and politics. They're just good communists dressed up in suits. They're calling for third world communism, even as they receive their millions, being a media superstar. Their victory has been so complete that they no longer need to hide in the shadows. They can openly campaign for office and openly boast about their plans to dismantle America. How do you even explain it? It's not logical. It shows how demonic it is. It shows the devil's influence is strong. How fast would their millions evaporate away if their objectives were carried out all the way through? God had to intervene, didn't he, to save America from having even its name being blotted out. Think about that as we go into our 250th year anniversary. How close America was just a few years ago to being entirely blotted out. I guess President Trump's only been back in office for a year and a half. A year and a half ago, what would America be like today had Kamala won or Joe Biden before he had to bow out? Both of them, just an extension of the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. He's still on the talk show circuit, by the way, talking about the Declaration of Independence. He lies. He lies. We came face to face with the spirit, that lying spirit, when Herbert Armstrong died. And the Tkach people came along and just lied to the brethren, said that we're not making changes, just little modifications, that's all. We have the same doctrines, the same teachings as they worked behind the scenes. They were hard at work, by the way, dismantling everything that Mr. Armstrong did and taught. They destroyed it. They were sons of destruction. Mr. Armstrong was a builder. I'm going to give a program on that. Maybe tomorrow, we'll see. He built for God. And the Tkach administration and all of their supporters, they destroyed for the devil. That's what it amounts to. There's quotes in Mystery of the Ages where it says, God is a creator. He's a designer. He's a builder. And Satan is a destroyer. What a contrast. Here these people come into the United States of America, blessed Manasseh, and they just want to destroy. They want to destroy the Constitution. They want to destroy capitalism. They want to destroy the Republic. They want third world communism. He was right. This article says here, the current wave of openly communist candidates attaining real political power in the public square shows that not only was McCarthy right that communist elements were operating within the United States, but also that his efforts to root them out did not go far enough, allowing the leftist cancer to fester within the American body politic. It always aggravates me when you see something like this. McCarthy was right. And no one gives God credit. No one gives Herbert Armstrong credit. They said it. Mr. Armstrong prophesied it. Why aren't there more people lining up at the Federalist or wherever saying, hang on a second, have you seen this booklet, this brochure, he was right? Have you seen this quote from Herbert Armstrong from 1956? It's right there in America Under Attack. My father wrote this. In 1956, Herbert W. Armstrong encapsulated the emerging threat of communism in America as a psychological warfare of propaganda, infiltration, subversion, demoralization. It's a warfare that has attacked our minds and our moral and spiritual values rather than our bodies and our earthly possessions. That's a quote from Herbert Armstrong in 1956. Well, here's another anniversary, 70 years on from that classic quote. It says, it's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. That's what these young Democrat socialists want. And now you've got Kamala and Chuck Schumer and Maxine Waters. They're coming right out in the open with the same ideology, the same agenda, the same talking points as these young socialists who just want, they want them some third world communism. Happy birthday, America. Not everyone falls into this category, obviously. But why do they make up such a large portion of our population? And what would the founders have thought of this development? Back to the Federalist, it says communist politicians need to be removed from office. The financiers of the ongoing communist revolution must be defanged, and the malcontents within our bureaucracy, academia, and media need to be purged. It says a complete scorched earth campaign is the only viable way to excise the communist threat, a threat that is closer to destroying America than the Soviet Union ever dreamed of. As I say, this agrees perhaps more strongly with what Mr. Armstrong said in the 1950s than any other article we've seen in recent years. And Mr. Armstrong said it 70 years ago. People should be beating down our doors here in this mail processing facility, saying the TV studio's upstairs. Downstairs, we've got all of the literature. We've got all of the writings of Herbert Armstrong. We've got He Was Right. We've got the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. We've got America Under Attack, which has the quote I just gave to you from Mr. Armstrong. People should be beating down our doors saying, can you give me that He Was Right brochure? Can you please give me a free copy of America Under Attack? And we would say, absolutely, there's no cost or obligation. You can read it freely. You can study it. You should. You see why Satan, he just wants to blot out even the name of Herbert Armstrong. He just wants to blot it out. He wants to revise the history. He's revised his own history. When Mr. Armstrong died, the Takachas came along and they just revised the history. Yeah, they said, Mr. Armstrong was a destroyer. We're builders. You can see why Jesus said, look or judge by the fruits. You have to judge by fruits. All of the Tkach people literally destroyed the Hall of Administration. Well, I don't know if they did it or if it was the developer or what, but the Hall of Administration imploded 15 years ago. They bombed it to destruction, okay? And the Worldwide Church of God people even threatened to do that with the Ambassador Auditorium, which looks a lot like the building you see behind me. And why does it look like the Ambassador Auditorium of old, that building behind me? Well, it's because from the beginning, we've been building for God, and we've been looking at the way Herbert Armstrong built. We've been raising the ruins, Amos 9, verses 11 and 12. And so you see an Armstrong Auditorium that looks a lot like Ambassador. You see Herbert W. Armstrong College, which is a lot like Ambassador College. You see this beautiful campus, which is a lot like the campus in Pasadena. Satan came very close to blotting out even the name of Herbert Armstrong. God didn't let it happen. Now we see this happening to our country. It's agonizing to watch. People who are campaigning on, if we're honest, destruction. Yeah, we want to destroy the American experiment. We want to destroy what America has stood for 250 years. We want to destroy the founding. We want to get rid of the white culture. Times of the Gentiles. As I said on the show yesterday, what other nation does this? Yeah, come on in. Hey, come over and have a baby and you've got your citizenship. It's that simple. And then you can anchor your citizenship to that baby, perhaps. Maybe bring over the whole family and the relatives as well. Because that's the way the women on the Supreme Court would like it to be. Where is the strength? Where is the strong male leadership? It's gone. Isaiah 3, verses 1 and 2. It's gone. And so you've got these bleeding heart liberals, in many cases feminists, that are quite happy with third world communism. This is actually Mr. Armstrong. He said back in 1962, the Communist Party is merely a trick term to pull the wool over our eyes and deceive us, a means of getting a fifth column into our midst, of getting the enemy's government into our very midst, leading us to accept it as part of our government. Its only object is to destroy our government. Its object is destruction. Of course, if it could do this peaceably at the polls, it would, but it knows it can't. So it does stand for the violent overthrow of the United States government. That's interesting that he said in 1962. It knows that if it could do it at the polls, if it could do it through elections, it would. But it can't. So they stand for violent. Well, you fast forward to today, and now you see them actually doing it through the polls. It was Steve Bannon yesterday who said, it's obvious. This is building to civil war. He was right. Herbert W. Armstrong. It's pretty amazing. It says here, instead of being another political party as part of the party system of American government, it's a foreign government whose sole purpose is to destroy and overthrow the government of the United States and to set up a foreign communist government instead. Those are prescient words written in 1962. The other one that I quoted to you, 1956. That's pretty amazing. When we come back, what do we have? We got 9 minutes left. Well, just to come back to what Mr. Armstrong said in that cold open, it's great that we see one enemy. It's great that President Trump and his supporters see the enemy of the communist infiltration. But what about the other enemy or the other enemies? As he said in that cold open quote, we can't see more than one at a time. And this is going to lead to our downfall. In Politico, it says Germany wants to expand defense industrial cooperation with the United States, including by building U.S. weapon systems or components under license in Germany, said their defense minister yesterday. So, and they want to build the military machine, not just with America's blessing, with America. And of course, as Mr. Armstrong said, using his language, stupid America, our stupid leadership, they just carry on thinking this is a wonderful development. Because surely Germany is never, never, never going to be our enemy. That couldn't happen, could it? Listen to Mr. Armstrong from a 1982 sermon, clip three.
Now, we're a long ways from Russia, and we are fearing the Soviet Union. The two great powers in the world are the Soviet Union and the United States, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics and the United States. And we are really fearing Russia. Let me say right here, I know of no prophecy in the Bible that speaks specifically of any war between Russia and the United States. And I've been saying for years and years that is not the way that the World War III will come. However, let me say that the resurrection of this so-called Holy Roman Empire that existed from 554 on to 1814 in Europe will trigger World War III.
That, as I say, is from 1982. And that's, I mean, the Cold War went on for the rest of that decade. And there were those throughout the decades of the Cold War following World War II that were out there warning that the next war is with the USSR. Yeah, there's going to be a hot war that results from this Cold War. There's going to be a nuclear winter. There were movies about it in the 1980s. We've done a program on that before. And through it all, that man right there, as you see on the screen, was saying, no, we're not going to go to war with Russia. The same one who prophesied of the communist infiltration of America said, we're not going to go into a hot war with Russia. That's actually going to be with the Holy Roman Empire. But think about how bold these predictions were. They weren't predictions, were they? They were prophecies. Herbert Armstrong was just a student of Bible prophecy, the sure word of Bible prophecy. Listen to this from Chancellor Mertz, and he's with the NATO chief and the defense minister Pistorius. This is clip 11.
Mr. Chancellor, Mr. Pistorius, I would like to ask about German-American arms cooperation. There are reports that the German government is in close contact with the American government about which American weapons could now be produced here in Germany under license. But I wonder, is it actually in line with the goal of Europeans becoming more independent if we now start producing U.S. weapons here in Germany? Perhaps you can clarify the contradiction, the apparent contradiction.
I'd like to start. So, it is indeed only a perceived contradiction because no one, despite all the claims for greater independence, ever said that we want to do without American systems. That is not the case, and that will not be the case in the future. We are working closely with the American arms industry, and we intend to continue doing so. And there are systems that we don't yet have, or that we urgently need in the next 5 to 10 years. At the same time, we know that the Americans' production capacities are also limited. And so an urgent, how should I say, expansion of the same is required. And that's why we are very interested in building certain systems or parts of systems in Germany as well. We have one example with the fuselage of the F-35, and there are others we want to, and can, work on. Therefore, the answer is that one does not exclude the other.
Shocking. Yeah, just your ordinary press conference coming out of Germany. We're going to work closely with the Americans to build the F-35s and to get an American-style military machine here in Germany. We're going to build American weapons, an American military right here in Germany, right here in Nuremberg, in Munich, in Berlin. Can you believe this? And then there's America, who sees the evil of communism, some of us, but they don't see any other enemies. And really, you see it. You see it in President Trump's statements about every other nation, pretty much. Yesterday, you said it about Qatar. They're great friends of ours, strong allies. About the only exception is the little Jewish nation, which more and more people in the MAGA movement hate. But everyone else is a great friend of America. Now, there's that communist infiltration here at home. That's insidious, and that needs to be extracted from our midst. But outside of that, the world's a pretty good place. Everybody loves America. You see it at the World Cup level. What did Mr. Armstrong say in that cold open? I should play it again. We never can tell where our real enemy is until after he strikes. How dangerous is it to help Germany build its military machine and then to wait and to wait and to wait to realize that, oh, they're actually an enemy, but they've already lashed out. They strike at America, and then finally our people will begin to wake up to the prophecies of God, to what Herbert Armstrong was saying a century ago, from 1926, 27 on through to 1986. Play this next one from Mr. Armstrong's World Tomorrow program, clip 5.
Jesus Christ said of the time that is now coming upon us, and it's the next thing in prophecy to happen, that there will be famines and pestilences that are going to take a third of our people. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. You'll be hated of all nations. And I've shown you that that is both national and personal and individual. It's both a religious persecution on individuals, and it's a national invasion that's coming on the United States, on Canada, on Great Britain, on Northwestern Europe. And it is not coming from Russia. You're going to be surprised.
That was during peak Cold War levels. It's not going to be Russia. You're going to be surprised. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be dumbfounded. As I say, now would be a good time to delve into this classic work on Bible prophecy, the United States and Britain in prophecy. Where are we in prophecy? Where do we fit in the panoramic events or flow of events that culminate in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth? That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.